you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello, how are you? My name is Liz, that's Tom DePinto. This is Sun, RBLR Sun FC. Tom, how are you doing today?
Liz, I'm doing fantastic. I'm very comfortable in who I am as a person right now.
That's great.
Yes.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, you know the drill. Like, subscribe, hit the button below.
Down low.
There's just one button below. We decided this from last time.
Two. Subscribe.
Oh, like? Okay, yeah. So like and then subscribe. I think they're like there. There we go.
Yeah.
Hit the buttons, please and thank you, so you don't miss anything. Come look at our beautiful faces on YouTube. Because we're
cute. I shaved just for this.
Yeah. I put on makeup for this.
Wow, that's real.
Thank you. And coming up later, we have an interview with Sydney Nocello, where I am incredibly loud, so I'm very sorry in advance.
Just excited. You can't help but see a Sun player and start yelling. I get it.
Yeah, honestly, it's in my blood now. we played Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, let's just get right into it, because, like, man, there it is again, guys. There it is again.
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale and the Tampa Bay 1-1 FC. It rhymes with sun, all right? Yeah, it's the derby no one wants to win, I guess.
I think it's because we keep playing on, like, Women's Equality Night or Women's Equality Month.
And International Women's Day.
In Women's Equality, we have to share the points.
Yeah, we can't help. They are our hated rivals from down south. But they're also women. And that makes it hard. We have to respect them. We have to embrace the fact that it's a good thing that they're playing the game, that they're getting paid at a professional level. I wish we would just smash them already, but
we're trying.
We're trying.
We were definitely a little more aggressive. This game was definitely less chippy, but just as aggressive as our match a month ago.
Yeah, I think the crowds have something to do with the chippiness. It's certainly going to be an aggressive game when these two teams play each other. Both teams need the win, us more so than they needed it. We needed the win real bad. They're sitting up there in second place now. Good for them. We really do need the win, but I think the crowds, the environment, the vibes of the game do contribute to how chippy it gets. With us, I know Fort Lauderdale does heckle. They've got some good hecklers down there, an experienced core of folks. But I think it's a little bit. Look, I ain't been down there to Beyond Bank Card Stadium in the shadow of the Nova Southeastern University Interprofessional Health Services Center, but I know what big it's in my it's a lot of my brain is dedicated to that for some reason. I know that Big Jim Stadium is rocking every night, especially for these rivalry games. The field's real close to the stands. The players feed off of what we do out there. And so you end up seeing some handbags for sure when they play in Tampa. Definitely no less aggressive in Fort Lauderdale, but yeah, a little bit of a different vibe for sure. Just watching on the broadcast.
Yeah, it was. The crowd was a little thin. I did see a nice cluster of folks right around the goal. So I know they're definitely trying. I saw flags. I saw banners. Shout out to I know there's the, like, Everglades County Collective. I always get the name wrong.
Everglades County Coalition or Collective.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I only call
them. And then there's the New River Raiders, who apparently were heckling the crap out of Ashley Orgas, which is very, very funny.
Yeah, she was a good sport about it. She met up with him after the game, we saw, right? So that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, well, they, like, bombarded her after the game. And we're like, take a picture, because you were so chill.
Yeah, that's our goalie, really cool. Guys.
That's really cool.
She's like that. but yeah, they did have an announced crowd down there of, like, 2,260 or 2,620, which I don't know. It's a pretty big stadium, so if you spread them out, it may look a little thin.
Yeah, and we couldn't see the camera side, so I assume maybe that's where the premium seats are. Maybe they're not facing the camera like they are for our stadium for whatever reason. So maybe the premium seats have way more people in them, and it's just like those are the, you know, crappy sideline seats or something.
Yeah, I think it's a decently accurate number. I mean, how much can you inflate it before it's obvious? You know what I mean? So it's good that they're doing that down there. I mean, they're doing a lot to really push that club. I mean, before we get into like talking about another draw, let's take a little bit of time to talk about like Fort Lauderdale as a whole. Let's examine our rival, you know, because they're doing good things. They've got a strong academy system that kind of sprang out of nothing. They didn't absorb any existing teams. They've got a men's academy side. They announced recently that they're endeavoring for a men's professional team too. So, you know, they got the men's academy, the men's league two, the W League team is starting this summer as well. A men's pro team is in the works. They're really
pro team. Are they going for that first division then, that, or are they talking about championship?
Not the theoretical USL Premier. It's either League One or championship.
Okay. Yeah. I know that news came out like today or yesterday. I apologize.
Yeah. It was pretty vague, but you know, good. You know, it makes sense. It feels like they're bringing up that squad of U20 guys that made a deep run and just kind of bringing them up into League Two and then bringing up a couple more of them to the pro ranks. But that's kind of the model they're following down there. They want to build a whole team. It's something we're not doing here. You know, we don't even have a W League team. I think we're obviously focusing on being like, you know, a big Tampa sports team. Like, we want to be more of a Lightning than a soccer club, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I get, because, you know, being a sports team pays better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we got the money back in. We're trying to do things a big way, and it does pay off. We look extremely professional.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a clash of cultures when the two teams meet. Not just from like a tactical perspective, but also from a business thing. And I think that's pretty interesting about it too.
Okay.
So on to the actual game, right, Liz? The actual, yes. look, we got to talk about another draw. 4-for-4, baby.
Another draw. We're all going to wear ties to the next game.
Yeah. Putting up the Thailand flag in the back with all the others.
Okay, part of me does kind of want to buy a Thailand flag.
Yeah, we can take it down as soon as we don't tie a game, okay? But when you're on, what is it? It's like a 5-game draw streak? 4, okay. Well, is it 4 or is it 5 counting Gotham?
It's 4.
It's 4 total? All right, my bad.
I think so.
I'm blowing things out of proportion here. Still, feels bad. Doesn't feel awful. Doesn't feel good. You know, we're getting a point a game. But if we need to start clawing back into, you know, that number 4 spot, we're still sitting there at 5, like we've kind of been hovering around. You got to win a game.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. See, we count Gotham as a loss because we lost in the PKs.
That was extracurriculars. That's a draw to me.
Yeah. Okay. Extracurriculars. I like that.
I don't think anyone knew we were doing PKs until after the whistle.
No, that was wild. That was crazy.
Right.
Tom, do you have anything about our lineup? We didn't really change too much.
No, I thought no, not too much. I think it looked like if everything is to be believed, and I couldn't quite pick this up watching the broadcast. If everything is to be believed, we kind of did. It looks like we dropped Flew in favor of bringing Listro further up. And I say further up, but that's not necessarily the case either, because Nicello and Listro were playing very wide. So it was kind of the typical back three of Page, Hendricks, Bissett that we started to settle back into. I know a lot of time it has been, what, Moore and Flint as the defensive pivots?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, and
yeah, I think it, like in the little lineup you have, you'd like swap Flo and Flint.
Yeah, it looks like I swapped Flo and Flint. But I would assume the league goofed up, or because I don't think Flo was really, but again, Flint was getting really high up in that game too. So I think we're just kind of giving a lot of leeway to those sort of four players in the interior of the midfield, Flint, Zaid, Moore, Flew, to kind of work with each other. And then Nacello and Lister are kind of operating almost exclusively along the wings, I would say. Nacello dropped back pretty far a couple times, got pretty far up.
I mean, Nacello's position is the field, but yes.
Right, Nacello is SP, soccer player.
Yes.
I think the beginning of the game, the whole sort of first half had a lot of feel very similar to that Gotham game. You know, we concede early, and then we end up getting a lot of good chances and kind of having the best of the run of the play, I would say, right, Liz?
Yeah, honestly, the Fort Lauderdale goal, which kind of sucked. It was, I have noticed it says, it was an outside ball. Nacello and Page don't quite get on it, which is saying something because they are fast as shit. Saving that F-bomb just in case. They don't get on it. Zaid manages to leave Hamid open. And then Zaid is forced to then deal with Hamid on her all by herself. It was just no good. It was another one where, and this happens fairly often, where we swarm the person with the ball and forget that the person with the ball can pass it.
Yeah.
So we need to be on those people too.
Right. The ball travels faster than we can.
It does. Yes.
Yeah, it's a common refrain, but it's true. Yeah. Zaid has shown her chops.
Zaid just being inexperienced. Yeah.
She's shown her chops, I think,
doing her best. We are conductors of the Zaid train. Let's be real. Doing her best for sure. It happens. You're caught out.
Yeah.
You probably should have had someone like glue. Like that should have been like, haha, I am your buddy for this entire game. I'm not leaving your side. But
we call it face guarding across, where you're just in her face all game. It's a tough matchup to have to deal with as a rookie. Zaid has shown her chops, shown to be an effective one-on-one defender, shown she's able to take the ball upfield and operate in sort of an offensive role like we've kind of been doing with her. But if there's a couple players on the league, if there's one player on Fort Lauderdale you don't want to get matched up one-on-one with, no matter who you are, it's Jasmine Hamid. She lives up to any of the hype you've heard about her, and we've seen that time and time again. The finish was class. She earned it. She got to the spot she wanted to get to, got to where the ball was going, finished clean. It was really a one-on-one with Orcas, and there's not much you're going to do as a goalie when the ball's sent in that clean to somebody wide open like that, and she nailed it. So, you know, it's you know, third minute, eighth minute, it hurts giving up these early goals, that's for sure. But the only, the redeeming thing about it is that we get back in it after that. We settle in, we tuck the ears back and take the front foot after we get scored on. I would prefer to not need that goal to get scored on us to start operating as good as we can. But hey, that's what happens sometimes. So we'll see if we can shake it. But that's two games in a row by my count where we get scored on early and it looks a little messy.
Yeah. You know, it's not messy. Liking and subscribing. I tried, man. I tried. Hit the buttons. Like and subscribe.
There we go.
You want to hit at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Sun FC on socials, but at RBLR Sun or RBLR Sports on YouTube. Come look at our beautiful faces.
Yes. It's worth it. You can yell at us.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Leave comments. Yell at us.
Actually, I do hope you are yelling at us right now for whatever we're saying that you do or do not agree with. but you can type it out on Blue Sky on Twitter, and we'll actually
yell at us now, because later I'll be yelling at you.
Yeah. Meet me at Big Jim and we can scream at each other. Okay.
Oh no, I'm at the interview where I'm literally screaming.
Oh God. Yeah.
I'm so sorry in advance, guys. Super producer Eureka literally tried to warn me and nothing got better.
So yell at Liz about how much she yells.
Yeah, there you go. Leave us a comment about how damaged your hearing is after this episode.
So yeah, after that first goal, like I said, we did kind of take command of things. I think we looked direct. This is what I really noticed about that, is we looked super direct towards goal in a way that we don't usually. There wasn't a lot of passing the ball around the outside arc, you know, the wings in the midfield, playing it outside and hope for a cross in. We were kind of trying to force the ball in. And normally that's a bad thing, you know, forcing the ball somewhere. But I think it was a new and good look for us. Something that I think Denise shifted the game plan for a Fort Lauderdale team that we've played a whole lot and have only drawn with. So I think it was good to kind of shift things up and be like, no, let's attack that center of the back line and let's try and make something happen. We did get some good crosses operating, I think, from Jordan Zaid on the right side. She was getting really advanced. She was finding some opportunities to use her speed, play the ball in. She looks good when she's carrying the ball. And I mean, she looks good all the time. Her whole hair situation is crazy, I got to say. I couldn't help but notice this, but she just has like so much of it back there.
Yeah, she's got a lot of hair.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. I'm not crazy. Okay.
I was reading the note and I was like, what? That's such a weird comment.
Sorry. These are the things I notice. Look, I get easily distracted, but look, when she's running, it's heavy. But she was taking a lot of opportunities to carry the ball, to use her speed. I know it's something that the coaching staff really likes about her, is how fast she is. It's probably a big reason she's on the team. We like to work the ball up kind of methodically along the left side, a little bit of passing. The right side is likes to be a little bit more wide open, having fun. What is this idiot doing back here? So she had some good work back there. She was playing the ball in well. I think Flint was part of the interplay with her sometimes. She'd kind of try and connect the ball over to Nacelle on the left side or play it back to Zaid as the situation called for it. And I think as those kind of direct opportunities, straight up the gut or utilizing the speed of Zaid to the right side, as those started to develop more and more, I think that's how we got the payoff. I think that's how we got our goal. You want to tell us about how the goal operated?
Sure. So honestly, I recommend going back to the actual feed and watching it, because it's a thing of beauty, because and I went back and timed this, by the way. Nacelle keeps the ball for a solid 18 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, she's just dribbling around, passing it around, or just going around players for 18 seconds. Okay. And then she passes to Giamona. Giamona holds on to it for like a solid 10 seconds as well. And this allows everyone to get set. She passes to Paige. Paige passes to Flo. And then Flo crane kicks it into the goal. And it's amazing.
So good. Yeah, the two of them, Nacelle and Carly, they were terrorizing.
Oh my,
that side, that far side of the Fort Lauderdale defense. Yeah. Like you said,
seconds. That's like, you know, it doesn't sound like a long time, but like, go back and watch it. It just keeps going.
Yeah, in a professional soccer game, it's like, what is going on here? She'd dribble, she'd turn. She'd try a different lane, she'd turn. And it's like, normally that happens and like somebody tries to cut in and the defender hits, oh, corner kick. No, she just kept possession and just kept like dribbling around, seeing if there's nobody here. No, looking up. No, maybe here. Finally laying off for Carly, who did the same thing, basically.
Yes.
And finally, that kind of chip in. The chip seemed like it was something that was planned. was something that was a part of the game plan to get it over, kind of be more direct and feed it that way.
Yeah, we had a lot of like Zayn like coming up the side and then just trying to like kick the ball as far into the center as possible to get the get it set.
Yeah, yeah,
it was or center, center of the goal. Words are hard right now.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of been part of like the philosophy, like the most foundational level is that we're going to use that right side speed and attack directly. And the left side in the middle, we're going to be a little more methodical about it. We're going to use our dribblers there. We're going to try and chip you. We're going to break your defense. You know, we're going to make your left side of defense sweat like physically, and we're going to make your right side and center sweat mentally. It's an interesting combination to see in practice.
And then like 3 minutes later, by the way, Flo tries to do the exact same thing again and gets completely rocked by Fort Lauderdale, but I love her for trying. Like 10 out of 10. I love it. Yeah. That's the kind of tenacity we like.
I love to see her come back from international duty with the Denmark U23s again. Let's remember she's a baby child still, Cecilia. And she absolutely comes back like firing on all cylinders. That crane kick finish was so, so good. Popped it right over the on-rushing goal.
Of the month, I'm going to be pissed.
It's up there. It's not like, oh, what a beautiful curler. But my God, I challenge anyone listening to like get out there and try and do that on a pitch.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was her sixth goal of the year, which I think her and Carly, Cecilia and Carly, both sitting on six goals, which is like, third place, fourth place in the Golden Boot race, which, you know, man, either of them
in the Golden Boot race, but we will have the most players in the Golden Boot race.
Yeah, well, bad news there.
Something. No.
There's two Fort Lauderdale players ahead of us.
Oh.
Here's the thing about Fort Lauderdale.
Did McCain score again? No, she only assisted, right?
She only assisted this game, yeah.
Ha-ha!
It was Hamid with the one goal.
Dang it. Yeah. She's catching up so quick, though.
It's Hamida McCain up there at the top.
Oh, is it really? How long has Hamid been in the league? I feel like it has. She's recent-ish.
I don't know. I think she's been around. She's been cooking. She's been slow cooking, simmering.
I'll have to look that up later.
Yeah.
I feel like she was a November ad or something like that.
Maybe. But she's good.
She still makes it wild. Yeah, that's what makes it more wild that she's already like cruising to the top.
Yeah, and now Balcom's cooking because she's finally on a good team.
A not traumatic team, apparently.
Yeah, right. Not traumatic. God, yeah. Yeah, so that was the first half. I think it was a good look out of us. You know, it sucks to have to recover well from an early goal and you know, get the answer. Just like we did against Gotham. But I, you know, it's a encouraging sign that we can recover. Some teams will roll over after those early goals. But there, you know, there's a lot of soccer and we know that. So, you know, there we go. 1-1 into the break. And then the second half is what, a lot of the same, but without the payoff for either side, right?
Yeah. I have more of my goofier notes if you want me to cover those.
Yeah, I mean, that's all the second half really was, right?
Yeah.
How often can you talk about another, like, scoreless or equal score half in this derby, you know? What else can we say about it?
I don't know. Honestly, I was really excited because I noticed that Henny no longer has to wear her Batman mask. So I'm happy for her. That must feel nice. I can't remember if it was like that for the Gotham game or not. No, she had it on for the Gotham game because I made that joke that she wore her Batman mask for the game. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So,
So I think this was the first game without it.
It's a pretty quick recovery from having your face broken.
Yeah. Honestly. Tough. So I'm sure she feels better, and that might be also why she probably played a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think she's ever had a bad game in a Sun uniform.
Fair enough, yeah. You know? No, but you could see she was annoyed with the mask sometimes, where like maybe her passes or kick or something would be just a teeny bit off. And you could see she was annoyed with it. Yeah.
It's got to affect your vision a little bit. Or sometimes as an athlete, if your hair band's not sitting right or
yeah, your socks it's one weird. Of those things that just bothers the crap out of you. Yeah.
Yeah. I do see you have a note here about us having the most yellow cards.
We do. We have the most yellow cards in the league. Hell yeah. I like it. I like a shithousery of a team. Let's do it.
It's a kind of a diverse cast of yellows too. We've had bad challenges. We've had professional fouls. We've had back sass. We've done it all, you know. Time wasting, I think, has been in there even, right?
Yeah, I think at least one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Orcus has gotten in there on it, but yeah, if the league can't prove itself to be a real soccer league yet and just get a red card already. The men did it. The championship, they did it in the first week of play already. We're over halfway through the first season.
I don't know. Like, especially in this match, it felt like, and I have no criticism really of the ref, other than maybe they could have been a little more harsh about 30 minutes in when a lot of these like little chippy fouls started happening. Not chippy fouls even, but like just like tugs and pulls here and there that you could tell it did start to get out of hand, especially in the second half. Like maybe I would have awarded a yellow a little bit sooner. People might have been a little less aggressive, not aggressive, but like I guess liberal with shirt pulls, stuff like
that. Yeah, yeah. If you let a lot of stuff go as a ref, then they see what you're letting go and they start to push the boundaries, you know?
I remember
in the first half, there was that one where I think either Balkum or Hamid went into a challenge. She didn't have a great control on the ball, the Fort Lauderdale player, realized it and tried to slide after it real quick. And Listero was coming in at the same time and they like collided and it looked pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And then Fort Lauderdale got a free kick out of it, which is kind of a theme, 50-50 or a Fort Lauderdale foul, and somehow they get a free kick, but sure. But yeah, it's things like that. I've seen this referee before. She's been pretty good. She hasn't lost control of any games I've watched.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't even say she lost control of this game. Not at all.
No.
I just, like, there is a little tiff in the second half where Bissett and Balkum get a little shovey. They start to tussle a little bit. There's a shove. Nocello kind of flies in. She's kind of lucky she didn't get a card too, quite frankly, because you could see a little like hair shirt pull on the back. Bissett and Balkum both get a card, just when they announced that we have the most yellow cards. Which is very funny to me. And then what is it? Listero shoves Listero completely shoves a Fort Lauderdale player that gets in her way, and I'm so here for it. Like, my captain, oh captain, my captain, hell yeah.
I could see she was getting a little miffed, to say the least, in this game.
But see, the ref wasn't taking like really any BS though, or really losing control of the game, because there is around the 86th or 87th minute, Hamid like completely flops, and you can tell that Henny barely touched her, and she just like falls. And doesn't call anything. And it's like, okay, all right. She knows what she's saying. Okay.
Yeah. You kind of got to get the scouting report as a referee going into this this Florida Derby where, like, yeah, these two teams, you know, they're going to say in public or, like, to the press, like, you know, oh, it's any other game. Sure, maybe, you get a little excited that you're playing a local. I don't think these teams like each other. I think we've reached that point finally. I think it is really, like, they're not going to admit it, I don't think. But it is an interesting game every time.
Yeah.
The more you play somebody and nobody wins, I think the more frustrating it gets for everyone, fans, players, coaches. I think this is the next, if there's not a red card in between now and the next time we play Fort Lauderdale, I think we christen it for the league. I think it happens then.
Yeah. I hope part of me just wants to christen it for the league because I think it'd be funny.
Yeah, I hope it's not us so we don't have to play down a player, but
But
I hope it's us at the same time.
Yeah. I feel similarly. Yeah.
Yeah. We could always be the trivia answer too.
Okay. Yeah, we have Oh, I was about to transition to the thing. I apologize. No,
I got one more thing I want to say because it's frustrating. We had three shots on target all game, 9 shots total. Fort Lauderdale scored 1 goal on 1 single shot on target. And like, that just goes to show, like I've been saying, we got to lock in sooner. If their 1 shot on goal is a goal, and it happens in the 8th minute, like, let's be as good as we are for 80 minutes for the 10 minutes at the start of the game, too. Please.
Yeah, it feels like we just, because it keeps happening in the beginning. It's like something about us just doesn't, like, gel in, click in.
Yeah,
and it's not like we lose our cool or anything.
No.
So, I don't know. Cool.
You know, as a coach, you got to think, like, is it the warm-ups? Is it the way we start the day, we start the game? Like, where does that happen? The game has to start 10 minutes earlier for us, you know? It has to start at the walkout, you know? Gotcha. It's something I'm dealing with my lacrosse team, kind of on the inverse thing. Look, I coach a high school girls lacrosse team. It's a whole problem. I wouldn't say it's a whole problem, but the past week has been rough. So it's a problem right now. But we come out there solid, looking great, and then we go down a couple goals, and it's tough. The Sun team is kind of the opposite. They look a little sluggish. They get beat to balls, and then they lock in. So it's what problem would you prefer to have? You know, I don't know, but it's something that I really do hope we solve. And we are playing Carolina next. And I think this is a good chance. We beat them at home last time we played them at home. I hope it's our get right game. You know, I hope this is the time we shake the draw curse.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. And we will preview that right after the upcoming interview with Sydney Nocello that I'm going to say really quietly because I'm about to scream at you for 20 minutes because it was very early in the morning and I was very excited and very hype. And also by myself. So please give me a little bit of credit. There's a lot of nervous, excited energy. But here's my, here comes my interview with Sydney Nocello. It was super fun.
And welcome back, guys. This is that interview that we were hyping up. We have Sydney Nocello in the house today. Hi, Sydney. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So we're coming off. We just had an away match at Fort Lauderdale. And it was a little less chippy, but still just as aggressive, I could tell, than a month ago. How did you guys feel coming out of that match with this high?
I felt good. I think the team felt good. There's a lot of things that we kind of left out there, we feel like. We wanted to win that game, obviously, really badly. There's a mutual respect between both teams. A lot of people have been considering it a rivalry. We don't really consider it a rivalry, just that both teams really, really respect each other, and it's going to be an aggressive game every time, especially we're kind of getting down to the wire where we're having less and less games left. And we're in that playoff push right now. So every game is so, so important. And we're kind of showing that through our aggressive actions.
Oh, yeah, no. And anyone who's been watching, like, this second half of the season looks, and I say this with all the love in the world, a world of difference. It seems like everything's really clicking. Everything's really starting to gel. The passes are getting a lot more cleaner. And, like, Denise, or Coach Brown, excuse me, likes to say, is that we're getting that pretty soccer that she promised us.
Yeah. We heavily emphasized when we went into the break for the first half of the season, just kind of what we needed to focus on, clean up. And I think the team has done pretty much everything that has been asked of us. And it's just starting, you're right, it's starting to gel. And we have that identity now, and it's just going really well. The only thing that's not is that we're the results, but those are going to come. You know, we're at what, four ties now?
Yeah, we're at 4 ties in a row since the beginning of the season. I think our last win, granted, was a great one. It was the 3-2 against Spokane. So,
right. But yeah. Speaking of 4 wins, I think we were down. We had to come from behind in a few of those games. And that's speaking to the resilience that this team has. So, again, we're in a good spot.
No, yeah, absolutely. As a fan and even working for RBLR, I love to see that, okay, we're down a goal. It doesn't affect us. If anything, it energizes y'all to just keep pushing harder. And we love to see it because there are some teams who, you know, you get a goal, you shut down a little bit. It kind of messes with your head, which is totally understandable. But it seems like that's something the Sun has really tried to focus on and be like, okay, we're down a goal. So what? Let's just keep pressing, keep going.
I'm glad that you guys are noticing that. That's good.
So speaking of, we have had a lot of ties lately, as you were saying. How do you think the team is improving, learning from this to like kind of convert into more wins?
Yeah, again, I think like we have created so many offensive chances in those four games that we have tied. And I think statistically, we've gone back and looked that a lot of them were like clear goal scoring opportunities. And we just need to be more clinical in those moments. I think defensively, we have been so much better in this half of the season. We've been so compact. It's been a unit. It's been 11 defenders on the field and not just individual efforts. So I think that has helped us a lot. We're not conceding as many goals. And I think it's bound to happen. You can't keep missing this many chances where eventually luck is going to go on your side. And one day they're all just going to fall in. And I think if we continue to defend the way that we are, like, they're going to happen.
Yeah, no, the post can't keep getting that lucky. It's just not fair. as you were talking about, we have 11 defenders on the field. I've really noticed that Zaid has just been like your doppelganger in the best way, honestly. I have seen her. She's definitely been watching you because I see both of you just hauling ass on the sidelines, just back and forth. Although we do joke that your position is the field because you just kind of go everywhere because you're like, no, the ball is mine. Chase after that ball like it insulted your mom, and I love it so much.
That's funny.
Speaking on that, so you are one of our top players on the team. Are you like the lead by example type, or are you more vocal in the locker room? Like, what's your style?
I am not vocal. I'm like super talkative and personable and outgoing, but when it comes to like football stuff or anything related to that, I really am just an example person. I like for you to be able to watch me and like see the passion that I have, see the aggression that I have, or just whatever that looks like. I'm not someone that's going to be like, oh, like if for Zaid, for instance, I'm not going to say, Zaid, you do this or you do this. I never really point my fingers. I just do it. And then obviously players that see that, they're like, oh, okay, that was great. Like, I want to do that. You know, and it's the same in practice. And Zaid is so cool. She's one of my really good friends on the team. And she's so cute. After every single game, she's like, okay, so this is what I did. What do you think I can do? What would you have done? Like, I'm just like, it's so funny. I'm like, take a breath. The game just ended. We're going to rewatch it. It's okay. It's going to be great.
No, I love that, though, that they're already like, okay, this is what I did that was good. Okay, wait, but what could I have done better? What would have made this game even better? Like, I love that that's the mentality in the locker room. That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, we just have so many experienced players, like a lot more experience than I have. And I think that helps me be successful in this environment, you know, learning from like Erica Timrag, Jordan Listro, Jade Moore, all these people that have been around the game a lot longer than I have makes it so much easier for me to like learn new things, too. So I think that's like a big highlight.
That's awesome.
Those are speaking of leaders.
Yeah. You say that. We know you're a leader on the field.
Yeah.
We did ask Jade Moore when she was on the same question, but I would love to hear your perspective. What unique challenges did the NWSL team Gotham present? And what takeaways did you have from that experience of playing them?
I think anytime you go into a friendly, it's pretty easy for any team to just be like, oh, this game doesn't matter. Like, it's just, this is fun. Football's fun. Like, this is going to be great. But I think they were so competitive, and that's what a professional team is in that kind of environment, knowing that there's nothing on the line other than just like, let's get better today. And they brought their A game, and they were super, super fast. I don't think we've played a team that fast yet on the ball. Like Fort Lauderdale, for instance, they're super fast off the ball. They got some pace on the wide spaces, but the way that Gotham was like moving the ball was just like, okay, like I'm like spinning, I'm like, holy crap. And the possession was like so good. There's not a lot of teams in our league that want to play the style of play that we play. There's a couple, but not 8 out of 8, where I feel like in the NWSL, possession is like heavily what the game plan would be, to keep the ball, have the ball more than the other team, build through the thirds of the field. And I think that's what Gotham did. And it's hard to do that when that's the style of play that we want to play as well, because only one team can have the ball. So I think that was the first time that we ran around. We're like, okay, we need to like really be compact and like be defensively strong as a unit. And I think we did a fantastic job. Being in that game, I think we shared the ball with them. And I think it just helped everyone mentally to know that like this league, the talent is really similar in the other league. And I think that's awesome for women's sports in general, especially for
Yeah, no, for sure. I have to say that game was incredibly exciting as a fan. I know as a player, it's like, oh, we have another game. This one doesn't even count for points. Why are we playing this game? But as a fan, we were so excited for this match. And it was really, really thrilling to watch us whatever challenges they presented, we matched it. We didn't, you know, y'all didn't get flustered. I could tell. Actually, one of the big things we saw and we noticed was there was almost no difference in the entire lineup change, like in the momentum and the aggressiveness in style of play. It was like there was almost no change on the field, which is incredibly impressive to see. Just a complete lineup change, and then nothing, like everything stays like aggressive. They're working just as hard as the, you know, quote unquote first string.
Yeah, I think that speaks to the talent that we have, like, in this locker room. It's insane. I think that, like you said, you could change the lineup at any point in time, but, like, there's an identity, and the identity lies within, like, the crest of the Tampa Bay Sun Football Club, and that it doesn't matter who that first 11 is, it's going to be the same product, and it helps so much in practice. Like, people do not realize when you are training against players that are that good and it doesn't matter who is there, getting to train against that every single day, this is why the second half of the season is so much better for us, because the amount of talent that we have when there's a starting 11 one week going against the non-starting 11, that could very well be a starting 11 on any other team in this league. They are that good.
Let me great lead into it. As we are going into next week, you are playing against former teammate Riley Parker with the Carolina Ascent. How do you and the team feel going into this weekend?
We're excited. We love Riley. So obviously we're just excited to have her back in Tampa and see her. Obviously we want to come out on the other side. We know that this is like a really important game. I've always said that you need to win at home and get points on the road. And we've done that. We've gotten all the points on the road and we have one at home. So now it's just about putting everything that we're working on this week tactically into play, fixing a couple of the mistakes from the last couple of games. You as a fan can tell me since you've watched them all, but I feel like most of the goals, it feels like we're shooting ourselves in the foot. I feel like it's not where like a team is like tiki-taka. They're like breaking us down and then they played a great through ball. And then it's like, wow, that was like a really nice goal. Let's stand up and clap. I feel like we've watched every single goal and it's like, okay, I could have stepped here. Someone could have done that. This space could have been closed. This was poor. Like, you know, it's just like things that we could minorly fix to concede less goals. So we're just excited to do that.
Yeah, no, and I can definitely say as a fan, I've noticed it. There's a lot of, I like to call it like just, what's a good way to say it? Thinking ahead is just the simplest way. I've seen a lot of anticipating plays. That's improved a lot for, like, not that it was ever bad, but I've definitely seen an improvement in how we anticipate plays. And like, I want to say it was our goal against, was it Brooklyn? I can't remember, but it was like Tosh Flint and Jade Moore just completely switched positions like so fluidly just to score. And it was beautiful. You could tell that there was like, oh, okay, yeah, you're moving here. So I'm going to move here and then we're going to score a goal and everything's beautiful.
Right. Yeah, I think that's really cool. We're also like super just position wise. It does not matter what position you play. I could sit here and say like, okay, I'm the left wing back. No, because sometimes you're going to see me at the nine. Sometimes you're going to see me up where Flo is. Sometimes you're going to see me where Zade is. Like, we're just kind of moving where the ball goes, and whatever's going to get us to success, that's where the player's going to be. And people will just gladly, no questions asked, slide into that new position. So it's, like, so fun to play this style of play.
And so this is DSB's favorite. So you've been with her for a while. How has she grown as a coach going from, you know, her USF legend days to now coaching, you know, a top tier professional women's team?
Yeah. I mean, it's still early. This is her first year, you know? So this is just like, she has, like, we're learning, but she's also learning. I played with her, even she was around in my club days as well. So I've kind of seen her through like a lot of chapters. And I just think like in a professional environment, that's different than college. In the college game, I feel like there's one, a lot more games. It's like two separate seasons, but like, not really. Like in the professional, you have to be top. You know, like it's a lot more competitive in a sense. Whereas in college, you can be top, what, 30 almost,
yeah,
to where it's like this like big margin. So I feel like she like understands that. And the way that she like approaches every single week is like a refresh. And I haven't seen that because, again, like in college, you're together a lot more. And like the schedules, you have a certain amount of hours, you know, it's just like different things that you'd have to adjust to from the college game to the pro game. And I think she's doing so well. The style of play, they're just smart. The whole staff is like incredibly smart. Even Eric was at USF. It's different to see him in the role that he's in now because he was a goalkeeper coach when I was at USF. So he wasn't really like vocal, but he's actually just really, really smart in the way the staff that like organizes together. You got one person that's doing like analytics, like set pieces, passes, you know, stuff like that. And then you have the other one that's doing midfield stuff, the other one that's doing forward stuff, to where everyone's just getting different perspectives from different people. And I've never seen DSB in that kind of environment because she was always just like the head, you know? So seeing her like interact and have that, those roles split up, I think makes her job a lot easier. And obviously she can get more out of us than her just being like, on every single person, you know, because then you can cause some tension whenever you just have one person that's like yelling. And now it's just like perfectly split up.
Yeah. All right. That's very cool. So we're about at the middle of the season now, I want to say, if you include June, how do you feel the skill of the league is shaping up?
If you look at the table, everyone is pretty close. So if we take the top five, we're what? A game, we'll say a game and a half, because obviously we do play North Carolina next. So if we take those 3 points, we would cut the margin to one game. So we'll say a game and a half, and then the bottom, they're all within one game. I don't think it's like, okay, there's one that's like severely here and then the rest. And I think that speaks to the talent that is in this league. It's a competitive league. It's not where one is just so much better than the other. And I think we just saw the Dallas and the Brooklyn scoreline where it's just like, okay, that's surprising, but like that's football. That's the talent that is in the league, and you can be anyone at any given time. And like every single team has so many talented individuals, and that's showing in the results. That's when you have four ties back to back to back to back, you can look at that and be like, okay, that is because you have four fantastic soccer teams that are all just like within the same range as each other. And like, sometimes one will win, sometimes another will. And it's not just a blowout every single time. And every single game is competitive. And I think that speaks to the value of the players, the quality that this league is bringing. And that's awesome to say in year one, because imagine how exciting that would be in like year three or year four. Cause that's just super cool to me. And it's so much more fun to play than when you're playing against like, okay, your team is just so much better than this team. Cause then it's like boring. You want it to be competitive, and then the fans are like engaging. Fort Lauderdale's fun because it's like that mutual respect. And you guys are like aggressive at each other, and it's just, that's what makes football fun and healthy.
Speaking of fun, how is it being back in Tampa? Are you like everyone's tour guide? So it's the whole thing. I was born in New York. I lived there for like 3 months. It doesn't count. I'm from Florida. Like I went to college at Florida Atlantic down in Boca Raton. I'm a Floridian through and through.
Okay. So I'm actually from Land O'Lakes. We moved here in, I want to say 2012. My dad retired. He was at MacDill Air Force Base. We moved over from like Jacksonville, Florida. So I'm really a Florida kid. 2012. And then he retired in 2015. So ever since then, we have been in Land O'Lakes since 2012. Same house, same everything. So Land O'Lakes is really like home. But again, like no one really knows what like Land O'Lakes is. Like if you see that, it's like whatever. But yeah, I love Tampa. I've been coming to Tampa even before I ever even moved here. So my dad was like a diehard Tampa Bay Lightning fan growing up. Like I'm talking like when I was four. So every single year we would make it like an account to have like a family bonding trip in Tampa. We're going to go to a Lightning game and we're going to like go to the beach and like do our own thing there. So Tampa was always just like a special place for my family specifically. And then when we finally moved here, I was like, okay, this is home. Obviously got to go abroad and get out of my comfort zone a little bit and go see parts of the world. And then when this happened, I was just like, this is God's way. I was like, this is him. Like, this is my calling. There's another generation that is ready to be inspired. And I get to be a part of that with 30 other people in my hometown. And that's so cool. This is the first professional women's team in Tampa. And to say that you're a part of that is insane. It still doesn't feel real. And it's been like how many months? It's still just
I get it. Yeah.
Because football's fun. You know, when you start playing a sport, it's because it's fun. And now I'm just like, it just doesn't feel like this is work. Like, it's so weird. It's like, yeah, I'm at work, but I'm like, I'm having a great time. And like, not a lot of people can say that sometimes.
I know I'm not a player, but I feel the same way, honestly. Like, one, it doesn't feel real. Like, it doesn't feel like just a couple months ago I was at my friend's wedding waiting because I couldn't go to the brand reveal party. So I'm sitting there on my phone with all the other bridesmaids in waiting in line to like walk. Like, what's the logo? And now we have the logo and we have a team. And it's every time I walk into the stadium, it's still like, this is real.
I actually can't thank you enough. I don't know how many people tell you that, but you guys honestly are like a big why. The fans in particular, like no one, it would be boring if you guys were in the stands, obviously. So your dedication and your support to us and our team, it really is valued here. And we do talk about it in the locker room all the time. So I think that you should know that. You, Tom, pretty much everyone on RBLR, and then all of the Tampa Bay Suns fans. Like, you guys make home game environments so much fun to play in, and it's just like, this is why we play.
Oh, we love to hear that, honestly, because all we want to do is make the funnest atmosphere, especially over in the heat wave, like during those PKs. Shit was lit. Oh my God, we were losing our minds.
Fun fact, we actually didn't know that we were going into PKs.
Oh, that was much a surprise for you as it was for us. Okay.
I knew because the announcement that was made in the stands, yeah. They were like, oh, we're going to PKs. And we were all like, okay, like, good. Yeah, we had no idea. And then everyone started going behind the net. I was like, this is happening.
Just to provide a counter perspective, so you were like, oh, okay, we're going to PKs. The supporter section was like, oh, we're going to PKs! And like, I'm not even joking. The entire section just lost it.
Right.
We were so excited. We were like, we thought this was going to end in a tie. That was also okay because we still did better than Fort Lauderdale. and now we get PK. Oh man, it was so hype. That was so much fun. That will go down as honestly one of my favorite memories.
Awesome. We're glad.
Yeah. So I think we need to get you to your meeting. But thank you so much for taking this time. This was so much fun, and I had a great time talking to you.
Me too. Thanks for having us, or us, me. Thank you for having me.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. Bye.
And we're back. That was the interview. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, I apologize for screaming in your ear for about 20 minutes, but that's what you get. Just turn the volume down. That's all I can tell you.
I thought it was a fantastic interview. You
thank you.
Handled yourself well. What else are you going to do when you see the best dribbler in the USL Super League but get a little excited?
I know. 18 seconds. Just a solid 18 seconds of just like going around Fort Lauderdale.
It was on beautiful. Our own.
Yeah.
So I think this coming Saturday at Big Jim Stadium, she's going to dribble that ball for 90 minutes around Carolina.
I hope so.
I think she can. I think we got that nut cracked. I think the early season, beginning of Super League style Carolina, they looked so good. I think that team is long gone and dead. They came up with a good win against Spokane last weekend. 2-1 against Spokane. They end up winning. On one hand, yeah, cool, you won. On the other hand, watching some of that game, Spokane's defense looked a little like they were not ready to participate at times. It's a problem we don't tend to see for 80 out of 90 of the minutes for our games. For our team. So as long as we don't let that thing happen like we like to let happen where we get scored on early, I think we can match up very well, and I think we can kind of get the train back on the tracks.
Yeah, I'm inclined to be like, we should win this because we beat them last time. They lost to Fort Lauderdale. We tied Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
The transitive property should be working here.
Yeah, yeah. Make it make sense, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that they had a couple good goals kind of early. And something that would be sort of concerning is that in that last game against Spokane, the Ascent scored in the fifth minute. Right.
Our kryptonite. Yeah. Our kryptonite, the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. They got in deep against what was kind of a weak three-person back line. I think the midfielders didn't slide back and slot into the roles they were supposed to, into the zones they wanted to. The Spokane defense plays a lot of zone, but they lock down specific areas of the field as opposed to just marking up man-on-man. And it works a lot of the time, but when it doesn't work, it's very obvious what went wrong, too, is the problem. You know, it's not like, oh, she got beat one-on-one. It's like, what are all of y'all doing out there? you know? So that was the one goal by...
The weakest link is just going to be Zaid. It's just coming up. We leave our flank open a lot of the time, and that seems to be our weakest link. Not that I don't love Zaid. It's just a matter of that foresight of knowing where to be at the right time.
Yeah. If it's any consolation, Carolina's two goals in that game didn't come off of that side of the attack, you know?
Okay.
I think you can maybe say the first one was... No, that's the Spokane goal. No, it was a lot of kind of direct ball. And then their second goal in the 30th minute by Jenna Butler was just a straight header off of a corner, which again was zonal marking by Spokane. This is my spot, this is my spot. And I think the defense and Hope Heisey, the Spokane goalie, didn't really read it too well. And she was just in between the gaps. I think we match up better against this Carolina team than we do against the Dallases, the Brooklyns, and the Fort Lauderdales of the world at this moment. Who are the teams we're going to have to beat if we want to win the title? If we get into the playoffs, that's who we're looking at playing. But if we can take care of this, get Carolina out of the way, and start to sneak into that top four, I think the pathway opens up for us a lot. We started the spring season off with some tough games. And so to get draws out of those tough games feels a little icky, but is good if and only if we get the results that we need in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we need to start getting more wins at home, but we need to some of these other lower teams on the table. We need to get some wins away for sure.
And it's weird to consider, you know, Carolina a lower team of the table, given that they are sitting in third still off the strength of the beginning of the season. But they haven't had that spark since we snuffed it out last fall.
You almost say they've been on a descent.
Yes. Carolina descent. Carolina decent, you know.
yeah, decent.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to make it that when they move to like fourth or fifth.
Yeah. You know, Carolina decent. What are you going to say about them, huh?
Yeah, they're going to hate me on the Super League subreddit. They got so annoyed with the Carolina decent.
If they had the same form as we did, they'd be Carolina consistent.
Consistent.
I'm sorry. My fault. I feel bad.
I love it.
Liz, you got a score prediction for this game this weekend against Carolina?
I don't even want to know what Sunrise says. Sunrise can go shove it up its butt.
I don't trust computers as far as I can throw them.
No, even though it's been right every single time.
Right. I got one.
I feel like we can eke out a 2-0 win on this. I really do.
2-0. We're pitching a shutout in your brain?
Yes. Yes. at some point our defense is going to stop letting Ashley Orcas down. God damn it.
Really. God, I hope you're right.
Yes, I've got... You know what? Yes, I'm speaking this into existence.
Yeah, Spokane it into existence, as Brent would say. I got it 2-1. I got it the same scoreline we played them last time in Tampa. So, you know,
Okay.
I feel like it's any score for a Sun match, any prediction that isn't a draw is like, ooh, hot take at this point.
But, I mean, a little bit, yes.
But it's got to happen. And we got to believe, as the fans, as Sun Country, as Sun Nation, we have to, it's not Sun Nation, as Sun fans, we have to believe first, okay? We got to put out the psychic vibes out there where we're not going to draw a game.
Well, we know we have the talent is the thing. It's just goddamn crossbar.
Goddamn crossbar.
Could stop playing for the other team.
Oh, Jesus. Well, Liz, you want to go around the rest of the league real quick?
Sure. DC Power played Lexington. Lexington won.
Yep.
With goals before the 75th minute. So, shocking to me.
Yeah, that's new for them.
Yeah, so they got a goal in the 23rd, a goal in the 60th. And then DC came back just to get one little goal in the 85th.
Garbo.
Yeah. And then Brooklyn just kind of shit the bed, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck happened in Dallas Trinity versus Brooklyn FC?
That's the one. Yeah, Dallas was like, yeah, you know what? You get a goal. You get a goal. And then, you know what? Six goals. Six goals to Brooklyn, zero.
Top of the table, Brooklyn, zero goals. How? Why? What? Huh?
Did they implode?
Something. The travel going to Dallas?
I didn't watch, neither one of us were watching that game. We had some other business to attend to for other soccer clubs.
Right, yeah.
Because we like our soccer with some more soccer, and then you put some more soccer on it.
Yeah.
We're not busy enough. So we were just getting FOT Mob updates, being like, oh, okay, well, they scored another?
Yeah. You said, oh my God, it's five. And then by the time I checked, I was like, oh my God, it's six.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a Chioma Ubagagu. We know her in the sixth minute. And then you thought you might get a nice game out of it because there wasn't another goal scored until stoppage time of the first half. Cameron Lancaster, not the guy who plays for Lexington. Cameron Lancaster, the girl who plays for Dallas Trinity. There's two in the USL. Yeah.
Yeah, Cameron.
Cameron and Cameron. But yeah, Cam Lancaster, she scored in her first start. She's a TCU grad. She's we've talked about her when she signed. TCU grad, so she's staying, you know, at home. Won the WPSL with California Storm. She's got a proven pedigree. Got her first start, not her first ever pro game. So come on, you're no Lexi Massimo. But Cameron Lancaster gets her first start, gets her first goal in there. It's 2-0 going into the half. You think Brooklyn's first place, they can still make something of this. Allie Thornton goes out there, scores in the 68th and the 70th minute. And that 70-minute goal had to be a backbreaker. Absolutely. You go down 4-0 like that, it hurts. The wonder kid, Lexi Massimo, gets her goal in the 79th. And then Lucy Shepherd.
Oh, wait, there's more.
Yeah, Lucy Shepherd says, we're not done yet. There's 2 minutes left in this game. I'm going to score as well. So, yeah, absolute blowout. Really interesting to see how Brooklyn comes back from this.
Yeah, especially because they're playing Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah,
at home, but still. Home is new.
Yeah, in their brand new home that they've never played a game in. So how much of an advantage does that confer, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my, not counting Tampa Bay, Carolina, that is my most interesting game of the weekend. number one Brooklyn versus number two Fort Lauderdale. Because, you know, can Fort Lauderdale get it done against a team not called Tampa Bay? Because they can't do it against us, and we can't do it against them. And can Brooklyn figure out what happened? Because, oh my God, that's it's insane. That's the biggest blowout in Super League history.
Must have been so quiet.
Yeah. Oh my God. The bus ride to the airport, the plane ride back to Brooklyn. Oh, what do you even say as a team?
I don't know. That's just like, damn.
Yeah. Like, are we bad? What happened?
I thought we were good.
I thought we were the best team in the league. And no, Dallas said absolutely not. Yeah. And, you know, as scary that is for, like, a Brooklyn fan, it's pretty scary for everybody else, too. Because two of those goal scorers, Cam Lancaster and Lexi Massimo, are, like, brand new to the league starting with the spring season.
Yeah, I think they replaced Sam Mezza.
Yeah, I think they figured out how to take him. Yeah, that was the big question for Dallas going into the spring. Can they replace Sam Mezza? Yes.
The answer is yes. Yeah.
And more.
The answer is yes, and then some.
Yeah.
See, honestly, I mean, I'm going to be Sam Mezza, who at this point? Like,
yeah.
Have fun. I have, like, not no hate, Sam. But like, dang.
Yeah. It's nuts. You know, can Brooklyn right the ship against a very good Fort Lauderdale team? Can Dallas keep this going against a Lexington team? And probably, I would say, right?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I don't want to paint with a broad brush here, but like, Lexington's not doing great. They did come off a win. It was against DC.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we could see the first double digit game.
No, no. Come on. We can't have that.
I'm not saying it.
We can't have that, not in our first season, okay?
I'm not saying it.
We better get a red card before we get a double-digit goal game.
Yeah, I agree. I would like a red card before we get a double-digit game.
If it's like Dallas 7, Fort Lauderdale, or Dallas 7, Lexington 3, I think I'd take that. That'd be funny.
That would be funny. let's just quickly recap those matches then. We have Spokane versus DC. Oh, these are all on Saturday, by the way. So you have a packed Saturday, in that you cannot physically watch all of them at the same time unless you have multiple screens.
Which you should. It's 2025.
Yeah, honestly. At 5 p.m., we have Spokane versus DC. At 6, we have Brooklyn versus Fort Lauderdale. Like we said, this is the top of the table clash. It's the first game Brooklyn's actually having at home at Maimonides Park. I don't know.
Coney Island.
Yeah, there we go. And then at 7:30, we have Lexington versus Dallas. Should be interesting. And then also at 7:30, Tampa Bay versus Carolina, which is where this person will be.
This person won't. I goofed up.
Yeah.
But hey.
But that's okay. Because if you haven't gotten tickets yet, you should go get tickets, because tickets are literally buy one, get one half off. So you can bring a friend for cheap.
Yeah.
This is me plugging for the front office.
Tickets are usually that cheap, and then surprise them when they're not.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
Liz, I think this was a good week of Sun Soccer, you know, despite everything. I'm going to sacrifice a goat if I can source one this quickly. It may have to be something smaller than that. Maybe a bug I find outside. I'll have to smash with a shoe or something. But I am going to make a blood sacrifice. This is my promise to you all. I will kill something if it means that the Tampa Bay Sun won't draw another game.
Blood sacrifice for the Sun God?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sun God needs it.
I think we just broke Super Producer.
Yeah. Yeah, we're probably the first soccer podcast to openly endorse blood sacrifice. But hey, when you draw four games in a row, you got to do something, you know? Not even
okay, guys. Remember to like, subscribe, hit all the buttons. We love you.
We love you. Do what you got to do, okay? Do what you got to do.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.